Wait. There we are. Hello. Hi. Hi. Good morning. Nice to see you. All right. Well, we're all here. We're alive. And it is Monday morning. We're alive and we are live.
Good very thing nice. When you're alive and
are you
live.
DS?
All good. All good. It's nice to be here. Had to drive through some road closures on the way
road,
in.
Road closure. Now, you know what? That was because of the Red Bull racing over the weekend.
Mm.
And a couple of our people here. Ben went with Michaela and Janine was there and a whole lot of other people who went to go watch it. I don't know. It's not my thing.
Yeah. Things aren't your thing.
Some things aren't my thing. But it looked like a lot of fun. I saw all of their stuff on Instagram. And you know what? Sometimes I get the joy of missing out from that.
Yes.
I'm like, wow, that looks cool. But man, I'm glad I'm not
glad
there.
I wasn't there. Yeah, the streets are pretty messy this morning.
Yeah, they've got road closures all over Joburg. So if you aren't in Joburg, you're probably like, wah. Who cares? But it you know, Sandton is kind of important. It's like the engine room of the South African economy in some ways. So we need to get that back up and running today.
Yes, please.
Apparently, there's going to be some strike today because SATU have organized some strikes. So a whole lot of people here are like, I don't know if we want to go to work on Monday. And I'm like, strike, Schmike. We'll be at work. Mm. And look at us. We're here. Right? Flex, James, we're not going to pussy out because of some strike. Never. Look, I mean, James even drove his extraordinarily dirty car here this morning. I mean, it's like camouflage, really.
No, I didn't see anything.
No, exactly. Show the picture again. You can't even see the car. You just
What's
see,
that?
Just
a parking
see
lot.
Dirt. Yeah. Yeah, there we go. So good morning, everybody. And Mapella says, nothing is your thing anymore, Gareth. Old man syndrome. Maybe.
So what?
Maybe not.
No, I mean, traveling is your thing.
Well, I'll tell you another thing that's my thing. Is the gardener who we've got on after 7. She is going to tell me how to grow a vegetable garden. Mm-hmm. That's a new
Very
thing
good.
That I'm into.
There you go.
Yeah, that's exciting. What do you do that comes close to that? Huh? What do you do? Boring shit. Huh? What? You're going to go out to tonight and you know have a drink. Huh? Masturbation. What is it you're going to do?
Masturbation.
I'm going to be planting vegetables this week. How exciting.
What's your reason for that?
So first of all, I like the idea of kind of going off the grid with a bunch of stuff.
Mm.
So I would like to be able to grow some stuff that I'm going to use, like herbs and, you know, tomatoes and lettuce and shit that just cost me a lot of money. And if I buy it and I don't use it and it goes off in the fridge, I'm like, oh, this is such a waste. So it's kind of solving a number of problems all at once. Plus, I had this part of my garden that it was just like a shit show out there.
Mm.
It looked like Gaza. And I needed to do something with it. So I decided to make a vegetable garden. It's coming along. I got a long way to go. I've got to get in like, I don't know, 4 cubic meters of soil.
Soil's a good start for a garden.
It's quite important.
Yeah.
But we'll be talking to the gardener, the host of that show on one of the DSTV channels. I think it's the home channel or something. And she's going to be in with us later on. Tanya Fisser is her name. Very excited to speak to her. So that's one of my things. Another one of my things is scouring the internet for hilarious stuff, which I did a lot of this weekend. Poor James, he was bombarded with all kinds of ridiculous and funny things that I found on the internet. So let's get straight into that. First of all, I did see a comment here from Bitcoin Boots who said, I have to start the show this morning with an African proverb just so that I can piss off Ruda Landman from Friday, who was like, how dare you put on an African accent when you are talking like that about African proverbs? But now I've just done an accent of her. And it's also funny.
Oh,
so you see how it works? See Ruda? Anyway, I don't have any beef with Ruda, but she clearly had some with people who do accents because she can't do any accents. It's always like that, right? It's always the people who can't do. Oh, whoa! We've had the hugest, massive, fucking Stanley Cup. That could have that released a torrent of water. We almost flooded the whole building.
They're not very stable. These.
No, so if you can't do an accent, then obviously you cross with people who can. I get it, but don't be so cross. Life is too short to be cross. Wake up in the morning and choose happiness.
There you go.
Okay. We don't even have Dr. Hanan on yet, and I'm telling you that. So I couldn't start with an African proverb this morning because otherwise Aruda Landman's going to have a problem with me. So instead,
Lord,
we'll start with this brilliant proverb. I think Leanna liked this one. I don't regret burning my bridges. I do regret that certain people weren't on the bridges.
You just did an English accent.
No. Oh, doesn't that girl look like she's terribly English?
Yes, she does. She looks a bit like Taylor Swift, actually.
Maybe it is Taylor Swift.
That's what she would have looked like in those days.
I like that, though. Wouldn't you like to put people on bridges and burn those bridges?
I think they used to do that back in the day, Gareth.
London bridges burning down.
Yeah, something like that.
Is it falling down or burning down?
Falling. But there was a lot of burning in those days, too.
Yeah, they burnt witches, they burnt wizards and long-tailed buzzards and creeping things that run in hedge bottoms.
That's exactly the list.
Yeah.
I was going to bring it up, but you had it there.
Yes, there it is. All right, so a lot of people alive and well in the comments section this morning, so they survived the weekend. Dumisha says, Gareth, imagine how many subscribers this channel would have if we all subscribed on our friends' phones, like two people each. You know what? What a good idea. Just grab your friends' phones when they least expect and start subscribing to shit. They're going to love you for that. Actually, I think in this case, we'll make a rare exception. You know, our rule is like never look at your girlfriend, boyfriend, or husband or wife's phone ever. But for this, might be a valid excuse. So when they say to you, why are you going through my phone? You can go, I was just subscribing you to a really great show with awesome stuff on it.
No harm done. New hobby for you.
Why? Why are you being so defensive? What are you hiding? What have you got on your phone that you don't want me to see?
That's gaslighting, Gareth.
I know. Sorry. Went past the finish line on that one. Sorry. Okay, Gareth, you need to ask Tanya if she knows what the difference is between a chapstick and a lipstick. No, we're not going to do that. I'm talking to her about gardening. Now you stop. Okay, and leaves, roots, and beans. Fruit, vegetable gardens are easy. Also, you need the Farmer's Almanac. Listen, these days, everything can be solved on the internet. Everything.
Oh, yeah.
AI can help you plant the right things in the right places. But I did buy, I'm such a nerd, I bought a light meter.
Which measures light.
You must be the brains in the business.
I thought
The light meter measures light.
I thought for a second it was measuring electricity light. And I'm like, but why? Because that's on whatever you bought.
Measures any kind of light.
Sunlight. Yeah.
Any light.
Oh.
Yeah. So you can set it to measure it in. This is interesting, actually. You can measure light in candelas.
Like candles.
Correct. Which you can imagine one unit of a candela is.
What you use when it's stage 8.
Yes, a candle. One candle is one candela of light.
Mm.
Okay, and then you get something called lumens,
right?
Which is a much more scientific way of calculating exactly how much light you're producing with a bulb or whatever else, torch, candle. And then you get other ways of measuring it, which are much, 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 much more scientific. But I just thought candela is a cute way to measure it, right?
So what's the purpose?
Well, you go around the vegetable garden and you hold this thing up or you put it down and you see how much light the bed gets.
Oh.
And then you can measure at various times of the day and see whether you can grow certain things there or not.
Wow.
But I'm a novice to this. I don't know anything. I'm learning something new. You have to learn something new every year.
Every year?
Every year. Got to learn something new. New language, new skill. New dance moves, whatever it is that you
or
need. Any dance moves. In my case, anyone would work. Gareth clearly needs a hobby, says Tatenda. Gardening seems to be perfect rather than opening his mouth and getting cancelled, lol. I'm uncancelable, as everyone knows. I'm the only person in the country who's earned that. So I can say whatever I want. Fuck you. And... Poor James, lol, he's not poor, he's just dirty, says Raven. That's horrific.
Jeez, I think I'd rather be poor.
Yeah, Bronwyn says, accents are the best, it takes talent.
Yeah, when did that stop being recognized as a thing?
Yeah, I mean, come on. You are so arrogant, Gareth, you English-speaking person, says Mapelo.
I don't know if Mapelo's accent's quite like that.
No, he does, he sounds like that. He sounds like Ruda Landman. He does. Okay, and then it's the lux meter that measures light, says Slippery Pickle. Don't misname the meter. Oy, oy, oy. Why you need to know, this is Raven. Why you need to know how much light you need for your vegetables garden? You are very good at English. So Raven says, I am in New Zealand, the land of the long cloud. Everything grows in this shit weather with hardly any light. That's probably true. But the other thing that I've got is a soil pH meter.
Mm.
If you're going to grow things like berries, we should save this for the gardener later on, okay? This is so bad. What I've learned this year is that Gareth can even piss off Ruda. Nice work. I hate disappointing you, you know? One of my favorite things is to always find someone to piss off on behalf of the listeners of this show. And we won't stop, can't stop. Got miles to go. So many people to piss off still. Just imagine, we could get to 100 and we'll never get over it. Elon Chief Twat says, good morning, losers. What a coincidence. I started my garden yesterday. I've been preparing the soil for the past 2 weeks and planted onions last night. Today is corn and potatoes. Look at this. See? Started a whole movement.
There you go.
But the nice thing about this is, and again, we want to save most of this for when we have Tanya in later on, but anyone can do this. You could do it in a little pot on your balcony.
Yeah.
You know, in your windowsill, frankly. There are people who can grow stuff in their windowsill that they use every other day.
And it's if fantastic. There's too much of it, you just put on the WhatsApp group, hey, neighbors, I've got free potatoes.
And then your neighbors feel like compelled to have your shitty potatoes, even though they don't want it. Oh, and we weren't going to have potatoes tonight, but okay. Yeah, we'll have potatoes.
We'll have your little potatoes that are the size of grapes.
Yeah, it's nice. All right, so here is some useful stuff for you for this morning. First of all, do you know what animals would look like without fur?
I know what a cat would look like without fur.
Scary.
Yes.
Because you get a breed of cat, right?
Yes.
That has no fur. What is it called? A sphinx?
No, but yes, you do get those breeds.
It's not a sphinx.
And they feel like penises. They do. I promise you.
You heard it here first,
everybody. Very strange.
Everybody needs to know. Apparently, a cat without fur feels like
a penis. Yes.
Lovely. Here are some animals without fur. Let's take a look. Here's a horse. We'll start with a horse. Okay.
Oh, that looks satisfying.
Oh, wait. There's a bear.
Ooh.
Yeah, scary, right? How scary is a bear? Yes, sis. Chimpanzee. Yeah, look how muscular a chimp is.
Ooh.
I actually saw an oak at gym the other day. It looks exactly like that.
Yeah.
Exactly like that.
Shame.
There's a parrot.
Oh, shame.
Very ugly.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. You can see the dinosaur thing though, huh?
Yeah.
Raccoon. Look at that.
Oh, dear. You wouldn't know what that was.
No, I'd be very scared.
Shame.
That's not nice at all. A little rabbit and then, ew. Not good.
Wow. That's like a that penis. Cat. Yeah. Yes.
Hedgehog.
Without its spikes.
Shame. Why doesn't that have spikes? And then a horse. Here's the horse. Also muscular and beautiful, but not great. And then an owl, the weirdest.
Ooh, long legs.
Look.
Yes.
Wildest, wackiest looking thing without. Oh, wow.
Oh, that's scary. Okay.
Yeah. So I think we went through the owl discussion once before. So that one was expected. But yeah, some of those animals, thank God they're fluffy and hairy and feathery.
Oh, you wouldn't know what they were otherwise.
We wouldn't touch them. Are you kidding? You wouldn't touch half those things. Scary, that chimpanzee, hey?
Mm.
You see how fucking strong those things are.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So you love animals, but when you look at them like that, you don't love them as much.
No, not as much.
Like, we've definitely got a hierarchy of animals in our minds. Like, the cute, fluffy ones are the ones we love. And then as you get to the uglier ones,
they become harder to love.
We love them way less.
Oh, definitely.
We're like, oh, well, if it dies, it dies.
Yeah.
You know? Just shows you we're completely full of shit. Okay, so a garbage man won the lottery in England. This guy, he basically was one of those people who empties the rubbish bins into the trucks. Oh, my old man's a dustman. He wears a dustman's hat. That kind of guy.
Yes.
So guess what he did with the money?
Oh, no.
Well, what do you think? Let me hear what you think first.
I don't know what he would. I know. I don't know.
What would a garbage man do if he won?
Is it garbage related?
No. But if he won,
I couldn't think of anything.
Millions of pounds. What would he do with his money?
Maybe he bought a house next to his parents' house.
No, that's much too sensible. Try again. Last guess.
Went on an holiday, a package holiday to Mallorca.
That's probably closer to the truth. Oh, here it is. Yeah, share the answer with the ladies and gentlemen. 19-year-old garbage man who won 12 million on lottery spent it all on prostitutes and cocaine. Look at him.
Strippers
at
and blow.
And look
wow.
at that fucking chain that he and the rings. Look at that.
Oh my gosh. He spent it all.
Proving again, he didn't become a garbage man. He is a garbage man.
He spent it all.
All of it on prostitutes and cocaine.
So now it's gone, right? What's he going to do?
All gone. No, he's back to zero. Mm. So now, I mean, because you don't get to reuse cocaine. I don't know if you know this.
No, you can reuse prostitutes.
I don't know.
But cocaine.
Well, you can reuse the prostitutes, but you have to pay them again.
That's true.
So in other words, you're not investing in them and it's bringing you passive income. I mean, unless you're the pimp. Okay, but that's a very poor thing to spend your money on. It's just, I feel nothing for him. I wish I could say I felt sorry for him, but I feel nothing.
Maybe that's just, I can't
Can you imagine him? Oi, hey up, I just won £12 million in lotto. Going to go and get hookers. Going to go and get hookers and cocaine. Are you boys in with me? Imagine
how many friends he got.
Well, the garbage men. That's probably. Can you imagine the prozzies as they come out? Like, oh, this is why those people aren't meant to have money. Ugh, now we've got it. Right?
Jeez.
Just proving again, like some people are not rich just because they're lucky. This guy was lucky. He's poor again.
Mm.
Money does not flow uphill is the important lesson here.
Mm.
Like some people are meant, I know it's horrible, some people are meant to be poor. Let's hope it's not you this morning.
Mm.
You're not listening to me going, oh, damn it, that's me.
Because I would blow poor people.
Because I would blow the 12 million I won on hookers and cocaine. Anyway, I just thought that was pretty funny.
Jeez.
Speaking of terrible people, Naomi Campbell is a terrible person.
Mm.
And we know this. Like, she's always been the person who everybody had a story about, and all those stories were bad. Like, she always treated abusive. Everyone like shit.
Yeah.
She was just really mean. She's one of those mean girls. She's really good looking. She obviously always was good looking. Everybody always treated her better than she deserved to be treated because her personality is, it's like a lizard's personality. Really, I think that Naomi Campbell and a lizard have the same level of human interactive capacity, right?
And compassion.
Yeah. So she looks beautiful, but, you know, eventually, like, beautiful is not enough. I can't believe I'm saying
that. Yeah, that's a new one.
But it's true. Like, even I have to acknowledge that even beautiful is not enough eventually. Take a look at what they've just discovered. Investigation, and by the way, she isn't looking as good anymore. I mean, she still looks okay, but those cheekbones look completely artificial, right? Investigation finds Naomi Campbell spent charity funds on spa treatments, cigarettes, and luxury hotel rooms. Oh, I would never have guessed.
It's not much different from the guy before.
Hmm. So again, you know, there we go. 19-year-old garbage man, Naomi Campbell, potato, potato.
Spa treatments, cigarettes. Well, the cigarettes are undoing the spa treatments.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
and luxury hotels.
Look at how much spa treatment you have to get your cheekbones that high.
But she spends charity funds on that.
Yes. So she was out there raising money for the poor. You know, hi, would you mind helping the poor?
And then she spent it herself.
Sure, here's a check. I would like to write a check for the poor. The poor.
Is it a capital P?
is it a capital P? Let me write a check for the poor. How much would the poor like? 1,000 rand. Okay, here's 1,000 rand for the poor. There we are, Miss Campbell. Oh, thanks. I'll just take that for the poor.
And go for a spa treatment.
Then she legally changed her name to The Poor.
Formerly known as Naomi Campbell.
Here's the surprise everybody expected on a Monday morning. Naomi Campbell's a terrible person.
I mean, she should be in government, actually.
She'd be good in government.
The transition would come to her very easily.
Absolutely. Mm. All right. And speaking of other terrible people, why don't people say, and this is a great point that I saw on a meme over the weekend, and I thought this is clever. People always like tax the rich. Okay. Which is, I mean, fair enough. We're all a little bit jealous of the rich, like the super rich, especially when we hear about someone who's got billions and we're like, oh, I can't afford the takeaways that I wanted tonight. Mm. So instead I'll have to make some porridge or something. I mean, we all have those days, right? But why do people jump to tax the rich instead of help the poor? Like, Naomi Campbell at least had the right idea. Like, hi, I'm here to collect for the poor. Instead of like, I'm going to tax you, you rich bastard. Because she probably thought in her head she was a rich person. But I mean, this is a good point that was raised in this meme that I saw. Why do people say tax the rich instead of help the poor? And why is that their motivating force? Why are they like out there in the streets going, let's tax the rich? Because that comes from a very jealous, resentful, bitter place, right?
Yeah.
So I think you have to appeal to two different kinds of people when you're out there doing the holy work that Naomi Campbell was doing. The first part is to like appeal to their compassion and say, you've got to really try to help people who are not as fortunate as you. And I think in most people that will resonate very strongly. Yes. But apparently not as strongly as let's take from those people who have too much and make you feel like you don't have enough.
Well, I mean, it's also a case of those taxes being managed properly. So it would be, you know, that feeling when you're at a traffic light and you come across somebody asking for money, there's that age-old thing, oh, they're just going to use it for drugs.
Yeah.
Or you think, how am I helping them by giving them 10 rand? And they need help every day.
Right.
They need sustainable help.
And then you do
they
give
need
them
help, housing.
Give them 12 million pounds. And what do they do? Go and buy
strippers
cocaine
and, blow.
And hookers. Yeah.
But it's explaining to people you are helping the poor, but the problem is there's no trust in how that money's being managed.
Well, let's look at what people are saying in the comments. Do you guys understand that 19 million pounds is almost half a billion rand? Do you know how much premium vagina that is? Says Carl de Santos. Yeah. Guys, does it matter what you blow your money on? In this case, if it was something justifiable and not cocaine, says Dumisha. Okay. So as Carl says, it's like, that's a lot of money. At 19 years old, I don't think you should have access to that kind of money. It should have been put into some kind of interest-bearing account for him that he couldn't touch until he was at least 30. Right? And if I had that money in my 20s, I might have done stupid shit like that too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, there's a lot of that. Government, of course, does the worst job, which is what Leanne's getting at with her tax comment.
Mm.
It's like, if you give it to the people who are the least responsible with money, people who don't actually earn their own money, and people who...
They're not business people.
No, they just know how to spend, right? Then guess what they're going to do? They're going to spend.
Or take it for themselves.
So I almost think, and this is a controversial opinion. Ooh, you know, you come to this show for controversial opinions.
Mm.
Controversial opinion. But I think maybe the garbage man would have been better than government.
Probably. At least he was honest about where the money went.
Yeah, and enjoyed it. He made the most of it.
Mm.
Well, actually, he made it the least by making the most of it. But I see you. In South Africa, don't worry about taxing the rich. Just audit the very rich. Very skeptical about these overnight millionaires popping up in an economy that hasn't grown in a decade. Well, remember, there are always going to be people who find a way to make money. I mean, maybe illegally or maybe legally. But I do think if we're all going to be forced to hand over our hard work, half of it, half of our money every year to the government, then everyone should pay the same based on what they've earned. And that includes people who only earn a small amount every month. Everybody must contribute. Otherwise, certain people are holding society up on their shoulders. Read Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. Great book. I know that all the left wingers are just going nuts because I mentioned Ayn Rand. But yeah, you should really read what she wrote because she grew up in a communist country where they made everybody poor and miserable. And then she wrote about capitalism. And people hate her for that because even though she was writing a fictional story, it's all true. It's the way that things work. And really, I think that that should be prescribed reading at school. It would make a better generation of people than the people who are reading Thomas Piketty and Karl Marx. But I digress. Taxing the rich is communist, i.e. splitting the cake as opposed to making the cake bigger. Look, tax is theft, says Bitcoin Boot. Point. Inflation is hidden tax. Once you see that, your whole mind changes. Absolutely, 100%. But what are you going to do? We can't exactly overthrow the tax regime, right? I mean, we'd all have to coordinate that very, very carefully, like we did with e-tolls. And I'm looking at you, because you went and paid.
I did.
You paid e-tolls for how many years?
Well, the thing is, I never traveled on those roads, so my bill was only ever like R9 here or there.
But you paid it?
I actually never paid, no.
Oh, didn't you?
No.
Oh, I'm so proud of you. Give me your hand. I'm so proud of you.
I still got an outstanding amount owed to them, but obviously that's been scrapped.
Because I was going to say to you, if you had paid, I was going to say to you, and what? Show me what you got for your money? And you would have said, nothing.
No. Right? No, I just had the little tag thing that would beep. That was it.
What do? You save in a money that is scarce and doesn't inflate. Easy. I think he's hinting at Bitcoin here. But yes, that is all very, very valid. If they use the tax base correctly, they will realize they don't need that much money. Well, again, if you let people who've never earned money, they don't know how to make money, right? They don't know how to generate value. Politicians. If you let them manage money, they'll never know how. It's like if you give a spoilt little child everything they want, they'll never learn temperance. They'll never learn to be grateful for small things.
Yeah.
Same with governments. Anyway, I think we get the point on this one. So here's something else that I thought you might like to see this morning, Leanne. You know what Sigmund Freud, who was not poor or stupid, you know what he used to give his friends for presents?
Advice?
No. Take a look. This is straight hot off the internet. Sigmund Freud liked cocaine so much, he would give it to friends and family as a gift. The founder of psychoanalysis, Sigmund Freud, once claimed there had been 3 great scientific revolutions, but all of that mattered far, far less than him giving his mates cocaine as a gift. Hi, everybody.
And his family.
Exactly, like, and his family.
Mom.
Imagine Sigismund comes home and he'd go, hello, everybody. I'm home from work. I've been doing some very hard psychoanalyzing today. I'm fucking finished. Who would like a little bit of an upper? And he passes it around at the family dining table. So you see, again, it's not just garbage men. It's not just Naomi Campbell, but also the great Sigmund Freud.
Definitely a trend, theme.
Humans, let's just put it this way. Humans continue to disappoint.
Yeah.
We will always be a very disappointing species, which is why I always say, you can't perfect us. We are full of flaws.
Always will be.
All humans are full to the brim of all kinds of very, very bad flaws. So don't believe for a second you can create the perfect society, because that would mean you'd have to fill that society with perfect people. And we're
all out.
Fresh out of perfect people.
None to be seen.
I know. All right. One other quick thing that's disturbing, but I need you to see it.
Uh-oh. Okay. Bracing myself.
Nice and early, 6:30 in the morning. You're probably feeling a little cranky. Maybe you didn't sleep properly last night. What you maybe need is to have your tailbone adjusted. How do they do this? Have a look.
Ooh. Oh, my word.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's how they do a tailbone adjustment.
I was going to say, is it a chiropractor? And of course it is.
It's very, that looks quite invasive.
But it looks like they're grabbing it from the inside.
That's probably how you have to do it. But I don't think I need to. I've just decided I don't need to have that one. Look.
Oh, jeez.
All right. And Fuck. There we go.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll leave my tailbone as it is. Thanks.
Is that a chiropractor who does that?
Yes.
Okay. Scratch them off the list. All right. Yeah. Very, very good.
No, thank you. Not on a Monday morning.
Can I also just say that Mr. Beast is very disappointing?
Who's he again?
Mr. Beast is the greatest YouTuber of all time.
Oh, yes. These guys made.
He's got more followers and subscribers. We've interviewed his girlfriend on the show before. I haven't met him. I'm sure he's lovely. He comes to South Africa often because the girlfriend is South African.
Mm.
And he does all these cool things, like he gives away like huge amounts of money or amazing experiences to his followers. So they all follow in the hope of winning, which is fine. That's a great way to build the subscriber base, I suppose. But he's got this one mate who's like a, I don't know, like a pedophile tranny, and they're trying to
cancel him.
Yeah, so that's not going well for Mr. Beast, but that's not his fault. He just chooses bad friends. And then I saw this and I thought, this is a bit disappointing. I mean, I don't have any expectations because I'm not like a fan, but this just made me think, ugh, okay, YouTube, you know what? Maybe you just need to reassess your place in the world. Take a look at this. This is Mr. Beast. He revealed he has 15 YouTube videos that he's filmed already that he will publish after he dies to keep his channel alive.
Oh.
Mm. Now, the fact that you would imagine that your channel, like your legacy, I suppose, that this is so important that when you die, there'll still be content is very disturbing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, to him, it's his everything. It's his life. And it's his baby.
I just think, like, just go.
Yeah.
When it's your time, part of what people have to do, especially your subscribers, is they'll have to learn to manage without you.
But
right?
he knows as well that that's going to be the most watched content ever. But what use is
but
it going to be?
But he's not there.
Yeah, to like, him.
I don't want to have success when I'm gone. I don't want to be Vincent van Gogh. Okay?
Yeah.
Like he painted all those paintings, but in his life he was cutting his ear off and fucking suicide and just like misery, right?
Like
never made a sense.
If he says in one of those introductory videos that he's recorded, everything made off of these will go to charity.
He probably will. But still, I just think, come on, dude. You know, don't worry. When you're gone, then the world will have to carry on. And the funny thing is, like 3 days after he's gone and these videos have been uploaded and they've become the biggest videos ever, then he'll still be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And when they run out of these videos that he's already recorded, people forget about him very quickly.
Yeah, those videos will still be there and any reference made to him.
Sure.
The last video that's on his feed is what
sure.
are going to watch.
But I don't
know. So that keeps on generating money for charity.
I just want to tell you,
that's
but
amazing.
When I go, there will be no warning. I have not prepared a written statement.
Peace and love. Peace
yeah,
and
there,
love.
There will be there will be a will that will be for my family, and there will be bugger all I have to say to anyone else. Like I'll just be gone. And it'll be, oh, happy release.
Okay. So if you had have gone last night and I pitched up this morning and no one had found out yet that you'd gone.
Yeah.
Would you want this show to, would you, we would just.
I would want you to wear black like you are. I'd want you to be very sad and go, ladies and gentlemen.
And cry like yeah, this yeah, is yeah. North Korea.
Yeah. I mean, we're very sad this morning because Garrett's gone. And then I'd want you to like fake the tears and wail. I'd want you to wail. I'd want you like flail your arms above your head and like thrash the ground like this. That's what I'd want. But then when that show finished, totally move on.
I think it would be fun if you recorded a show in lieu of your death.
You reckon?
Yeah. Saying fuck you to everybody that you've, not that you don't do
no,
that
man,
now.
No, you just go. You just go and get on with it. Like nobody cares. No, just move on. Wow, James, you really dressed up for this morning's show in your tracksuit pants and your hoodie, hey?
I did.
Look at that.
I even wore a cap. I didn't even do my hair. That's where we are. And my laptop's disappearing. It's a crisis.
Look at that. His laptop's
look
transparent.
How horribly wrong this is going for me.
All right, James.
Yes.
You want to just explain your car situation? We've been giving you shit for a week and a half about your car.
I even had my car engine cleaned on the weekend.
Leanne even had the engine of her car cleaned. This is how it looks. Well, it's how it looked when I took that picture. Has it improved?
It has. So here's the story, guys. Mm. I got a bit of a flat tire not so long ago, and I was waiting to fix that.
Mm. But you don't have to wait. You can do it immediately on the side of the road.
I know. Wait, to fix the flat tire or wash the car?
Fix the flat. You needed to fix the flat.
Yeah.
You changed the tire.
Yes. I wanted to fix that to the new tire and then wash the car.
Oh.
So that new car, new tires, vibes.
But this is so it costs money to wash your car.
Yeah.
But doesn't.
Doesn't. Not the way we did it in the old days.
Wait, what do you mean? I should have just taken a hose to my car.
Like you could.
A bucket,
like, yes, like
water,
you could chamois. Have.
I would totally be down, and it's something I used to do, believe me or not. But my
Your mother listens and watches. She
you're
pays
not allowed
attention.
To wash your car.
Your mother is horrified and embarrassed.
She is. She's hugely disappointed.
She taught you, like, James, you must have pride in yourself and a little bit of dignity and, like, wash your car. Because you don't want to look like you've just driven through the Namib Desert. And, I mean, it's not a shit car. It just looks filthy.
It hasn't looked great for the last few weeks, but it has improved. I did have it for a wash, but only outside, though. It was a quick little in and out.
Flex, what does it look like on the inside? Oh, a lot of Red Bull cans.
Yeah, I like Red Bull.
Did you go this weekend to the racing?
I didn't.
You didn't?
I didn't.
Why? Because your car was too embarrassing to park anywhere near there, right?
No, it was just for the On the Bounce crew. They had to just go do content.
Right.
They had to do
nothing. Are you saying that you didn't have tickets?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That is what it is.
We could have organized that for you. All right, what's happening in the sport? Give us an update.
An awful lot, actually.
Go on.
We'll start with the rugby, where all four South African teams won this weekend in the URC. The Lions played Edinburgh 55-21. The Bulls, they played Ulster. They won 47-21. The Dragons, they played the Sharks. Sharks won that one 33-30. And then the Stormers played what looks to be the Zebras. And they won 36-5.
Oh, my God. You just guess?
It says Zebra, but with an E at the end.
Ben says Zebra, I think.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or is it Zebra?
I don't know. What do I know? I'm like... more useless than you on this front.
That's fair. There's also football. This past weekend, Liverpool played. They won 1-0 against Crystal Palace. Arsenal, they beat Southampton 3-1. City beat Fulham 3-2. Chelsea, they drew, and so did Manchester United. And Spurs, they lost 3-2, leaving the log looking something like this. Liverpool in first, City.
Oh, you're happy about that.
Oh, I'm absolutely ecstatic. No. It's a great time. Man United's all the way in 14th. They haven't won a game in a while.
Now, wouldn't it be nice if you washed your car and we could see that Liverpool sticker that you put on the back? No, there is no Liverpool sticker on James's car.
But if someone wants to buy me one, I'll take one.
You know, you stop skiving. It's like when Simpiwe publishes a wish list and then everybody has to buy her shit. No one else is going to pay for your car to be washed. Wash it.
So, yes, Liverpool top of the log, City in second by 1 point, Arsenal third. Chelsea surprisingly in fourth, and then another surprise to have Aston Villa in fifth. So that's how the Premier League's looking at the moment.
Okay.
Got to mention it again, Man United all the way down in fourth.
Very embarrassing
to be them. Yeah, not a good time for them.
How many Man United supporters do we have here among us?
We've got Flex. Sandile.
He went very quiet while you were doing this.
Yeah, no, he hasn't said much.
Sandile's a massive...
very quiet on the group this weekend also.
Not a peep.
Yeah, I think that's the only...
Yes, because why would you need to have your brain taken out and dissected and people figure out why you're so crazy that you would support them? But I know that.
I don't always make bad choices.
No, that's a good
choice.
That's
not one that I've made.
That's a good choice.
My brother's made that choice too. He's a Man United supporter. So.
Oh, my God.
He's got to live with that too.
Black sheep of the family.
No, that would be me. I would be. Mm-hmm. That's for me. UFC 307 also happened this weekend. Alex Pereira, he defended his UFC light heavyweight title for the third time in 7 months, which is just monstrous. And then this weekend, there was a sporting event that took place that I had no idea existed.
What's that?
It's the World of Rugby. It was called WXV, right? So they have international teams that come together in different tiers.
Yeah.
And they play each other.
Yes.
That happened this weekend in Cape Town.
Okay.
I had no idea that was a thing.
Okay. It's great that we have you on sport when you don't know anything.
I only know everything about football. So that happened in Cape Town this weekend. Sia Khaleesi was even there showing his support in the stands. He did his thing. We unfortunately lost to the Australians. The Australians went on. They play this
country. Well, then it can't be real rugby. I mean, like if we lost to Australia, it can't be the real thing. So, and if Sia was there, he must have been like, why did I bother coming to this if Australia beat us? Right? Okay.
That's the news out of that. We lost.
Speaking of that, Leanne has something about Black Springboks.
She does. Ooh.
Yeah. Look at this.
There's also a news story about
Springboks. Yeah, this is very good. So apparently this was, where was it born? Where was this little, very rare? I mean, I didn't think it was so rare because we've had Black Springboks in the team. That kind of Springbok. I was going to say, like, we've had, like, what do you, there's Sia, there's Ox and Chair. I mean, I know these guys off by heart and I don't even watch rugby, but look, that's quite cute. So that's
at the Kingswood Golf Estate in George.
How beautiful.
How lovely. So they've welcomed their first ever Black Springbok. I didn't know that Black Springboks existed. I had to look it up.
Very
I was going to ask you, how frequently are they born?
Yeah, so not that frequently at all.
Wow.
And it's due to a breeding thing that you have to work quite hard to create a Black Springbok. It's not.
I know. Just ask Saru or whatever they're called.
But once
you get a few, then they just start flowing like water, and then your team is dependent entirely on them.
They're two World Cups.
Yeah, and then you get like three World Cups.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So you need to learn how to get really good Black Springboks. I totally agree.
You would be able to spot it if you were playing golf around the garden route.
Yeah, but then you'd have to be super rich. So you'd have to win £19 million
in order to,
and not spend it on hookers and blow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of people on social media are like, well, we need to give the little guy a name.
Yeah.
And obviously the top name is Sia.
Yeah. That makes sense. Makes sense.
So I think it's going to probably generate a lot of.
But it's a very cute little thing. I mean, like that seems.
It looks, doesn't it look like that's a normal photograph and then somebody's pasted a silhouette of a springbok in front of it.
That's what I thought when you sent it to me last night. I had to look at it a couple of times.
Beautiful. Absolutely.
They do have a white stripe down the front of their face.
Okay, so it's not entirely like blacked out.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of color there.
So I'm sure we'll see more on little Sia probably.
Okay, but it's gorgeous. I like it.
Yeah.
I heard that the black springbok had a larger than average penis. Oh, God. Stop, Carl. You're going to get us enormous amounts of heat from former Carte Blanche presenters. Please. You know, we don't need this. We're trying to change the narrative here. But that's very, very cool. Okay, anything else from you, James?
That was it.
That's marvelous. James, we've got to get to Dr. Hanan.
We do. He should be
Very good. And he's, of course, going to help us with all of our problems. Poor man. That's some heavy lifting. All right. Yes, there goes James.
Goodbye.
Back to producing.
Put on his other hat.
Is Ben okay? Says Azalea. Why? What? I mean, what would have happened to Ben, Azalea? What are you reading into this?
Maybe because he's been joining us every now and then the last few shows.
No, he's fine. He's absolutely fine. No one anyone's worried about. Don't worry about Ben, please. Worry about Ben on the occasion that no one hears from him for 3 weeks. Then maybe
so
worry
is that
about
the line?
Yeah, like I would say three. I've got like a 2 week thing. I think Ben is like a 3 week check-in person.
Okay.
So right. If I didn't pitch today, you could still assume I'm probably alive, but I'm just in dereliction of duty. But with Ben, it would be 3 weeks of not pitching and you'd be like, he might be dead. All right. So let's get to this quickly. Here is Dr. Hanan. It is, of course, what we do on a Monday. We check that everything's going to be okay. And this week, I've got this question from somebody who listens to the show. All right. So they say, I found myself in a position where I know of two separate cases of infidelity. One in a professional environment, the other involving a longtime personal friend. I'm unsure how to proceed. So let's get Dr. Hanan on and ask him. I'll give him more detail around this. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
We got to check in on this. This is a major problem. So do you want some more detail?
Please.
Okay. I've known a colleague of mine since university. We're good friends and we spend time outside of work socially. We went through the same professional career progression. Now we're both at executive level, working closely on many projects at work. I know that she has been cheating on her husband of over 15 years. And it happens consistently whenever we're on overseas work trips. She's someone I respect professionally. We've started a long history. We've shared, rather, a long history of personal and career growth, which makes this even more difficult for me to reconcile. One, is confronting them the best approach? Two, should I give them the ultimatum to confess to their spouse, or should I inform their spouse myself if they refuse? And three, how do I handle the emotional and ethical burden of knowing this information and deciding what to do? Ooh, what do you advise, Doc?
So, again, I want to educate this this emailer in terms of the principles behind the advice that I'm going to give.
Her name is Trudy. I'm sorry. Anonymous. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead and give Anonymous some advice. Sorry.
So, when somebody says, should I do X, Y, and Z? Should I confront? The answer is always, what is the goal? And that will dictate whether you should do whatever it is that you're going to do. Goal first, method or strategy second.
Okay,
Goal first, method or strategy second.
Can I guess at what her goal is here? I mean, she doesn't sound like a horrible person, but I think it's to get her conscience clear. I think she feels like she's harboring someone else's secret, and I think it's eating her up inside. She probably knows the husband. She says they've been friends for years, 15 years. Maybe it's just burning her. She's a terrifically honest person.
She wants to release the burden
She can't handle this anymore.
Right. So I want to advise this anonymous that life is very nuanced. So you might feel the goal is, well, for me to, you know, feel that I've done the right thing, to unburden myself. But also take into account the professional or the work impact that it might have on your life. Yeah. This colleague, you know, will it interfere with your career progression?
Will it interfere with your financial?
Is it physically, could it be harmful to you? So you got to take into account all the different costs and weigh up the value of you being, or you going to bed feeling that you've done the right thing versus the cost that could potentially will be the career progression, the trajectory, the financial implications, et cetera, or maybe even the loss of a friend. Now, if you say to me, Hanan, there's really no issue in terms of we have a really strong friendship, we have a really good connection, career-wise, she's a colleague, she has no leverage, she's not going to interfere with the career progression, then this only has value. But if you say to me, well, then you should do it, then you should definitely confront. And I wouldn't confront from a position of judgment. I would confront from a position of concern because you are a friend. Remember, people do funky things for funky reasons. And it's not always sinister and it's not always because they're evil. People can justify anything. And sometimes people do what seems to be quite nasty, but the decision to do it or the intention behind it maybe is understood or understandable once you actually kind of scratch beneath the surface. So don't judge and confront it as a friend, as a caring friend who wants the best outcome.
All right,
weigh up the options.
Let me interrupt you quickly because I want to find out what Leanne would do.
Oh.
You're like those people who wear the "What Would Jesus Do" brace. What would Leanne do?
I would put my career and earning money above all else.
And you'd shut your goddamn mouth and mind your business.
Keep quiet and mind my business.
Right. You see?
That's not necessarily the bad decision. Mm. You know, we all have a tribe to look after. We all have our goals and our gods to follow. And some people it's their family, and some people it's their financial security. And some people, it's their job above everything else. And that's what we don't judge. So to Leanne, it could be her job. And you know what? It's none of my business. to interfere with who is having an affair with who. I want to protect what's important to me. For other people who have plenty of financial security and they don't really care perhaps about their job or don't value it as much as somebody else, they might go, you know what, I believe that people should abide by the book of God and they shouldn't do these things. And it's my duty to actually say something and to send them on a different trajectory. Who knows? But you all have your own goals.
What would you do?
I'm going to give you, again, such a boring answer. I'd love to say to you, I definitely confront, I definitely won't. But if the work is more important to me, the job is more important to me, I would justify that this is none of my business and I would let it be. But if I feel that the friendship is more important than the actual career trajectory, and then in terms of the career, there's no material risk, I would definitely confront.
Put up that
what
picture.
What would you do, Jared?
Put up that picture of Trudy. I mean, no, don't do that, because otherwise people will know who she is. I mean, anonymous.
Jared, what would you do?
I'd sit her down and say, you know, although you're an almighty slut, you're my friend. And if you need me to help you, I'm here for it. Because, frankly, that husband of yours, he's boring. We both know it. And it's more important to me that we continue to work together and we be friends. And what business is it of mine to go and interfere and dig around in your back garden? I don't know why you're cheating on him. He might be really boring. He might be the most awful person on earth. He might be wonderful and you're just an almighty slut. But I don't know. You're my friend. So let's just deal with it. And I will be here to help you. And where I can protect you and I can protect what this joke of a marriage of yours, I will do the best I can.
There's an honest answer for you.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I think that's what friends are really there for. And also,
but here's the thing, but you know what? To be fair to all of us, I wish she was with us on the other side of the couch. So we can ask her, how important is this friendship to you?
Yeah.
How important is your work? How fragile is your job?
And what does she do if the husband comes to her and goes, listen, I've got a suspicion. And I know it's wrong of me to ask you, but I feel like Anonymous is doing this cheating on me. And I feel like every time you guys go away on an overseas trip, she's just doing kilometers of dick. Can I trust this unbelievably horny, like, wife of mine? What can I do? What can I do with her? And he's like crying and he's on bended knee and he's like, please just save me from this cock gobbling slut of a wife of mine. Like, what am I going to do? And you're like, oh, I feel so sorry for this dude. What am I going to do? What if he comes? Then it changes the whole game, right?
Yeah.
So first of all, the game changer is I've never heard kilometers of dick before. That's a game changer.
Kilometers.
That's a game changer.
Look at what we've done. We've reduced this brilliant psychologist.
Dr. Hanan.
We've reduced this brilliant psychologist to a complete gibbering wreck. Just kilometers and kilometers of cock.
Oh boy, we're gonna have to start looking for a new one.
You sure you still want to go for that lunch next month? Oh, there he is, Dr. Hanan Bushkin, who is, of course, renowned psychologist and the head of the Anxiety and Trauma Clinic in Johannesburg, with a lovely question from
Sarah Williams. Sarah
Williams. And a slutty friend.
It's Tamron Johnson.
uh, I've done some amazing things in my career, but this is a highlight for sure. Oh my God.
All right. I don't know if you've got anything useful out of us, but certainly in the beginning there, Dr. Hanan was very, very helpful.
Yeah. All, right, all about what your goal is. And if your goal is kilometers of dick,
yeah,
you go, girl.
Oh, God.
All right. Thank you, Doc.
Anytime.
See you. All right. We'll catch up. We'll catch up with you in a week's time. Bye. Oh, I hate doing that to people, but sometimes it's fun to just. All right. Yeah. And listen, if that's you and you are the friend who's just cheating and cheating and cheating, just stop. You just, how can you have so much? I mean, it's just, happens consistently wherever we are on overseas work trips, everywhere in the world.
She just can't stop herself. That's her thrill. Well, and you know.
Hey, listen, you don't climb the greasy pole at work to never have to do a bit of pole work ever again, right? It's just, that's what she wants.
Yeah.
For some people, that's the motive. We all think, like, if you do a job and you do it really well, it's because you want money to buy things or to
support your family.
To support your family, to raise your parents out of poverty, to buy to wash your car. Maybe you're just doing a job so you can afford the money to wash your car. But some people, it's about, like, getting out there.
And power.
Well, yes, and pounding your way just through.
Powerfully pounding your way.
That's it.
Through everything.
So who are we to judge? Anyway, I mean, it's just fascinating. So that is all we've got for you in the first hour. But but trust me, if that's what we've got for an hour, just imagine what we've got for the next one. Stick around. We'll be back in a moment.